In the book of Galatians, Paul is responding to a doctrine that we call Judaizing teaching. This was a doctrine that was taught by Jews in the church. Those Jews told Gentile members of the church that they had to keep the law of Moses to be saved. They told them that simply obeying the gospel of Christ was not enough. And so, in a sense, they were trying to make Jews out of those Gentiles, and so it's known as the Judaizing doctrine. Now, in the book of Galatians, chapters 3 and 4, Paul gives specific reasons why that was a false gospel. The first reason is in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 5. There, Paul said that these Christians did not receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law of Moses. A person could keep the law of Moses all he wanted to, but he would not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit promised in Acts 2:38, and he definitely would not be able to work miracles just because he kept the law of Moses. That's argument number one. Argument number two is found in verses 6 through 9, and that is that Abraham was not saved by keeping the law of Moses. The law of Moses had not even been given. As a matter of fact, he says later in this chapter that the law of Moses came along over 400 years after Abraham lived. And yet Abraham was a saved man, and he was saved without the law of Moses. So here's what he says in verses 6 through 9. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And I do want to talk about something further here that we mentioned in the previous lesson. And it's about verse 6. Verse 6 says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is a quotation from Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham at that time had no children, and yet God told him that he would have as many descendants as the stars of the sky for multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 15 that even though Abraham did not even have a son, he believed that promise of God. And the Bible says it was accounted to him. That is, it was imputed to him. It was reckoned to him. It was chalked up to his account for righteousness. Now, the assumption that many people make about that verse, Genesis 15, verse 6, is that Abraham, quote, got saved in Genesis 15, verse 6. And that is not true. Abraham was already a saved man when we come to Genesis chapter 15. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 8, that when Abraham left his homeland, he did that by faith. So he already believed in and obeyed God. And in Genesis 15, verse 1, God told Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God wouldn't say that to an alien sinner, and so Abraham was a saved man. But we also need to remember the strong commentary that we read in James chapter 2 about this verse. Listen very carefully to what James 2, beginning in verse 21, says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now that refers to Genesis 22, when God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac. The Bible says in verse 22 of James 2, Seest thou how faith wrought or worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Now notice very carefully what the Bible says in verse 23 about Genesis 15, verse 6. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So when God said those words in Genesis 15, verse 6, that statement was later fulfilled when Abraham did what the Bible is talking about here. So Abraham was already a saved man before Genesis 15, verse 6, and that statement in Genesis 15, verse 6, was fulfilled later when Abraham offered his son Isaac. And then the Bible tells us in James 2, verse 24, as a result, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So when you read the book of Romans or you read the book of Galatians, we need to read with those books also the book of James to put those things in perspective. Now then, let's go back to Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7, where Paul is telling these Galatian Christians who were Gentiles that they did not have to keep the law of Moses to be saved. And his argument here is, if Abraham could be saved without the law of Moses, then you can be saved without the law of Moses. So he says in verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith," and to be of faith means to be in and of and obedient to the gospel, the New Testament, the faith of the gospel. Those that are in the faith and have obeyed the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That is, they are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And the best explanation of what Paul is saying here is later in Galatians chapter 3. Paul explains what he means by being children of Abraham and being children of Abraham by faith. Look at verse 26 of this same chapter. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now he explains more about what that means in verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So who are the spiritual descendants of Abraham? The Bible says they are the ones who belong to Christ. But who are the ones who belong to Christ? They are the ones who have been baptized into Christ. Verse 27, and they did that how? Verse 26, by faith in Jesus Christ. This is what he means in Galatians 3, verse 7, when he says, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith," in the sense that we just read, in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, "the same are the children of Abraham." Let's go to verse 8 and then verse 9, where the Bible says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify," that is, save, "the heathen," and the word heathen there simply means the nations or the Gentiles, "through faith." The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the heathen through faith, in that it preached the gospel before unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Let's notice a few things about Galatians 3, verse 8, as he quotes from Genesis 12, verse 3. The Bible says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham." The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 8, that it was the Scripture that said this to Abraham. The Bible tells us in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, that it was the Lord who said that to him. God told him to get out of his country, from his father's house, to a land that he would show him. And then he made this promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. The interesting thing here is that when Paul said the Scripture said this, that is exactly the same thing as saying the Lord said it. When the Lord says it, the Scripture says it. When the Scripture says it, the Lord said it. And the Bible says that God foresaw that he would save the Gentiles through faith in Christ, that is, by the gospel. Genesis 12, verse 3 is the verse that he's quoting here. "In thee shall all nations be blessed." And that is a key verse in the Bible. Everything that you read after Genesis 12, verse 3, in some way relates to that passage. You see, when God made this promise to Abraham, he already knew how everything would work out in the future. He knew that he would give the law through Moses. He knew that he would give the land to Israel. God already knew all the history that we read about in the Old Testament following the book of Deuteronomy. He knew that the Jews would rebel. He knew all the history that we read about in the Kings and the Chronicles. He knew all of their history that we read about in the prophets even before it happened. When God made this promise, he was not only looking at that phase of the Israelites' history, but he knew that eventually he would send his son into the world, and he knew that the Jews would kill him. And God also knew that they would be fulfilling his plan in doing so. Because as the Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 10, God declares the end from the beginning. So Paul here in Galatians 3, verse 8, says something that nobody else had said in these specific words. That is, that God preached the gospel to Abraham when he told him, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now, how was that the preaching of the gospel? Well, it wasn't the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was not the preaching of the plan of salvation. When the Bible says that God preached the gospel to Abraham when he said, "In thee shall all nations be blessed," he's saying that he preached the gospel in promise. He preached the gospel to Abraham in prophecy, in seed form. Because when he said, "In thee shall all nations be blessed," that would eventually include the Gentiles being brought into the same kingdom, the same body as the Jews. And that was fulfilled in the Great Commission. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So reason number two why this Judaizing doctrine was false is because Abraham was not saved by keeping the law of Moses. And that brings us to Paul's third reason why this Judaizing doctrine was false. And that is because none of these Jews kept the law of Moses like they should. Let's begin reading in verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." You see, the Jews claimed to keep the law of Moses, and they told the Gentiles that they had to keep that law. But the fact is, those Jews had not kept the law and did not keep the law. In Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about the fact that the Jews prided themselves in keeping the law, but he shows them that they had not kept the law. So there is an important reason why the law couldn't save these people, and that is that a law by itself, in itself, and that's how the Judaizers regarded it, they looked at it as a law that had some kind of saving power. But Paul shows that that law cannot save. It can only condemn you. So what he says in verse 10 is that people who try to be saved by the law of Moses are under a curse. Why? Because he quotes here from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." This is why Paul says in verse 12, the law is not a faith. It does not have the same nature as a faith system. The law system says you keep the law, and if you break it, then you're condemned. So the only way to be saved by a pure law system was to keep it perfectly. And none of those Jews did that, and none of those Gentiles were going to do that. He says in verse 12, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them or by them. The only way to be saved by the law of Moses was to do them. And what that means is to continue, as he says in verse 10. Notice verse 10, "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That kind of law system, as these Judaizers taught it, could not save. And that's why Paul said that Jesus became a curse for us so that he would remove that law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, verse 14. And that simply means that we have the blessing that was promised in Genesis 12, verse 3, because Jesus died on the cross.